Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show. Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Andy Hart, WEEI.com, is in the house with us as well as we broadcast live from our Shaw's and Star Market studios. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline right now from ESPN is our buddy Field Yates. Hello, Field. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. Appreciate you having me on and hope that you and yours are staying safe during this unusual and hopefully soon to be over time.
I certainly hope you're right about all of that. So Derek Carr was on Total Access this morning. He said Cam Newton could be the quarterback for the Patriots for the next 10 years. What are the chances that happens, do you think?
Wow, okay. So I'm not sure I'm willing to go that far right now, right? I think it would be a good start just to get through season one healthy. But what's fascinating about this, guys, and I shared some of this analysis at the time when Jameis Winston signed with the Saints, is that like this is a one-year proposition that has the chance to have like sort of an accordion effect. It could be that Jameis Winston develops well behind Drew Brees and they decide, based off what they saw most likely in practice, that the Saints actually think he is the quarterback of the future and not Taysom Hill. With Cam, there's a much more obvious path here, right? If he plays well at the age of 31, which is where he's at right now, then, yeah, I think the Patriots' first sort of inkling next year would be, hey, if Cam is great, why wouldn't we be interested in bringing Cam back? If things go smoothly, unless you have supreme confidence based off something you see from Jarrett Stidham this year, again, probably as a backup, then I would think it would be a big part of the plan. And I know that a lot can change, and I know that there are all kinds of factors that could impact the salary cap going forward, but I know you guys know that as of right now, the Patriots' 2021 cap commitments are near the bottom of the NFL. Whereas this offseason, if they had retained Tom Brady at a price around what Tom Brady signed for with Tampa Bay, it was going to mean they're going to have to do some serious cap maneuvering. If Cam pans out and plays really well and he deserves a second contract with the Patriots, they've got the cap space to make that work basically seamlessly next year. So I know people are probably saying you're getting ahead of yourselves, but if we're imagining a scenario where Cam is here for beyond 2020, I don't think it's that much of a stretch.
Field, what do you make of the timing of the signing? Because they lose Tom Brady in March. The draft comes and goes. They actually had a chance to even get Jordan Love or Jalen Hurts or all these different guys in the draft. Didn't take anybody. You mentioned Jameis Winston. He changes teams. Andy Dalton changes teams. And then here we are at the end of June, and they decide to make a deal with Cam Newton.
Yeah, and I think this is why when people ask, is this more about Jarrett Stidham or Cam Newton, or is this a reflection of Jarrett Stidham? Of course, you can't say that the Cam Newton signing does not tie to Jarrett Stidham in some way. That's just naive, right? But at the same time, I think the fact that it happened on June 28th is a reflection of just the unique circumstances. And this is about Cam, right? So who would have thought that Cam Newton would be unsigned on June 28th? Probably none of us, right? He gets released on March 24th after they tried to trade him, even though it was sort of an effort in vain when the Panthers had already wished Cam Newton goodbye and allowed him to seek a trade subsequently. That next thing you know, it's like, why would anybody bother paying a draft pick plus the price tag for Cam? But I think the timing is really interesting. My guess is this. I'm sure the Patriots have – I know the Patriots have – this has not come out of nowhere. They've explored this for some time now. The market for Cam obviously never percolated. But even at some point, even if it was clear to the Patriots, hey, we can wait, another 3 weeks until maybe we are closer to being back in our facility. We can put Cam through a physical, things like that. But the risk you run in not signing a player now is that what if something happens to somebody else's quarterback? And I don't want to wish that on anybody, but if something completely unforeseen happens to somebody else's quarterback, then all of a sudden Cam might have some interest. So I don't have a reason of specifically why Cam had to wait this long, but I do think it behooved the Patriots to, once this thing was wrapped up, or at least it was trending towards, you know, being wrapped up, you might as well get on with it. And I know it's not like Cam's going to be super busy with the Patriots coaches, obviously not in person, but over the next, let's say, 3 or so weeks when most people are on vacation. But still, it's good to have him in your plans, and I'm sure there will be some level of communication between the Patriots and Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels and the rest of the offensive staff in Cam.
Field, it probably goes without saying, but Bill articulated it before the draft, that for basically 2 decades, every decision was made with Tom Brady in mind. The offense, the team was built around Tom Brady, putting him in position to succeed, taking advantage of his strengths. You now have Cam Newton and Jarrett Stidham, two players with very different skill sets from Tom Brady. And I'm wondering where you think the offense goes with Josh McDaniels and now Jed Fish sort of getting together in the lab this offseason and working with two more athletic, slightly different personnel pieces at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I think, and while the Patriots have always done a great job of bringing guys into their system and sort of tailoring it to what or finding ways to find fit. So the guys come in and just happen to do well what the Patriots have long done forever, for 20 years, basically. I think Cam's one of those guys where, like, you have to change things up. You just have to, because Cam, I will say this, is he has his obvious strengths and he has obvious limitations, right? So Cam's limitations as a player have been recently his health, 16 games missed over the past 2 years, and consistently has been his accuracy. He's a 59.6% completion percentage for his career. I mean, we're at the day and age where we need 65 and above to consider a guy, you know, reliably consistent and accurate passer. But if you look at 2018, which was the last season that Cam played almost all of it, you saw that that was his best year from an accuracy standpoint, 67%, and it also correlated with the fact that his yards per attempt went way down. So a lot of what we saw early in Cam's career was driving the football down the field. But how this all relates to the Patriots and what it means for sort of tailoring the offense to Cam is that, like, you can't just expect Cam to run the same offense you've been running for the past 20 seasons. I think that not only would it be a misfit for Cam, but it would also be limiting what he can do so well. And I get it. We all have to see what Cam looks like, and we need to see or find out when he is fully healthy. But no matter what your thoughts on the Panthers were, no matter how much you watched over the past 9 seasons, you know that Cam is one of the most unique players the game has ever seen at the quarterback spot. Heck, Patriots fans alone know that from the past 2 times they played against Cam Newton, 2013 and 2017. So I do think that this is one where the Patriots are probably going to have to accommodate Cam more than the other way around.
We're talking to Field Yates of ESPN. Back to that point that you just made. How much do 2 shoulder surgeries on the throwing shoulder and surgery last December for a Lisfranc injury affect Cam Newton being Cam Newton?
Yeah, it's a great question, Dale. I think that ultimately, you know, we'll find out come, you know, knock on wood, September. This is going to sound a little odd, but in some ways, it felt like a lot of what Cam had been dealing with recently was not Band-Aids on flesh wounds, but, you know, there were some things that Cam needed to have, or, you know, eventually needed to have done that you kind of put off, right? Cam, a few off seasons ago, there was a year, and I think it might have been 2016, where it was like June 1st, and the Panthers announced Cam was going to have surgery on an ankle injury that we already knew about. He'd had all off season, and it was like, wait, why? And it was, well, you wanted to exhaust every effort and measure to not have surgery before you actually had surgery. So Cam has had basically a year, or will have had basically a year by the time the regular season begins, to get the 2 major issues that have been bothering him rectified. And, you know, we are in this silly, ridiculous era of where we watch way too many, you know, Instagram workout videos. But as you guys can see, Cam is just...
He looks great.
He looks like a freaking tight end. He's unbelievable,
fantastic.
Right?
Yeah.
So certainly you would expect that, you know, from being like just like a cardio and like football shape, like Cam's going to be fine. It's just a matter of how much these things hold up over time. But, you know, in talking to some people close to the situation and people that have observed Cam in Carolina, I think there's a feeling that they're trending toward, he's trending towards 100% at some point close to the beginning of the season.
Field, what did you think of the Patriots' chances of making the playoffs when it was Stidham or Hoyer at quarterback compared to now with Cam Newton?
Yeah, I wasn't ready to count them out of the division. I still thought they were the division favorites going into the year with presumably Jared Stidham as the starter, but certainly Buffalo was breathing down their neck and it was starting to become a heavy breathe, right? But I think now I do believe this sort of further cements my stance that the Patriots are the AFC East favorites. And, you know, they were going to be really good on defense this year. You know, they're going to be situationally the best coach team in football. But I would just say this, guys, and I'm sure you guys can attest to this. You do 4 hours of radio 5 days a week. So it's like, what a shot in the arm this is for the Patriots, right? And I don't think Bill Belichick is like, you know, less or more excited. He's a football junkie. But just like imagine the competition that's going to ensue. And one thing we have to be super mindful of this year, that's not like every other year, is that we're probably playing without fans in stadiums. Training camp practices might be just media members and that's it, right? That would seem likely. Like, you're going to find out guys this year that really, really care about football at their core and at their essence. And I think that Cam, like, he brings an energy that I think is undeniable. I don't care if he came to New England or if he went to Baltimore or if he went to Seattle. It doesn't matter where he goes, right? Cam Newton is one of those guys that the minute he walks in the room, young guys and veteran players are all like, man, like, that's Cam Newton. Cam Newton, like, the guy that was, you know, he has been one of the fixtures of the NFL for basically the past decade. So I think it's in that sense, I do think there's even more excitement and energy. If I were a player, at least, I'd have even more excitement and energy with Cam. Not that he just has the job without winning it, but, you know, I do think it's fair to say, guys, I mean, you just saw on social media, a lot of players are fired up that Cam is coming to New England.
And that leads me perfectly into my question. Cam Newton, I think he loves football. You know, I've never heard anyone say that he doesn't, but he certainly brings a different energy and dynamic than Tom Brady brought to the position and that leadership position for a team. And I'm wondering, how does Cam's personality, you know, I've heard fans, we've had fans call in that he's a diva, selfish fraud. Is that a misconception? And how does his overall personality play in the quote unquote Patriot way?
You know, Cam has, so let's just establish a few things here, is that, like, Cam is, and I feel like this word is kind of a strange one, but, like, in some circles of the NFL, like, sort of iconic, right? Like, Cam has, he's got an aura about him. His persona and his stardom transcends football, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not, yep. People know Cam way outside of the NFL circles, right? He's obviously very into his fashion. He's had, you know, he's interested in cigar and, like, a, you know, he literally, like, these are the kind of things. I think he has a cigar bar. He may not have it. Maybe he did or does. Cam has things besides football that people know him for. At the same time, a couple of things. Cam, like, and this is a simple Google search. Anybody can find it. Cam did so much more for the community of Charlotte than I think anybody would probably be able to process. The guy is, like, has donated a ton of his time and his energy and his resources and his financial capabilities. So he's always been somebody that, like, people have revered. All his teammates have spoken in that way. But in terms of, like, do I expect Cam to come in and be, like, you know, dramatic or be high energy or whatever the perceptions people may have of him? Is that, like, don't you think that a lot of times, or I think personally, I mean, haven't been there myself, is that if a guy has that sort of stigma, like, is Cam going to walk into a building where everybody is basically business-like? And just sort of, like, ruffle feathers right away. My guess is no. My guess is that Cam is going to come in there and probably adapt to how the Patriots have long operated, right? You got a bunch of players and obviously a coaching staff and front office and everybody else that are nuts and bolts. Football matters. I don't know if you saw the video, and I think it may have been at LAX, but it was at some airport and Cam was walking out and he had about, you know, 8 cameras following him. This is late last night, asking him about how he's excited about the Patriots and all these questions and trying to get something at him. And Cam was just like, I don't think he even said a word. He basically said nothing. And it was like, Cam has already picked up on some of how things are going to operate here in New England, which, you know, I expect there to be a lot of buy-in from Cam, because no matter how great he has been, the reality is that 31 NFL teams passed on Cam Newton. 31 NFL teams did not have space for Cam Newton. He should be motivated more than ever to come out and be, you know, maybe the best version of himself has ever been. Because if he does, there's a, I don't know, $35 million per year contract extension waiting for him somewhere on the other side.
Field, what were your thoughts about the penalties handed down by the NFL to the Patriots for the videotaping of the Bengals sideline by the production crew?
Yeah, I thought heavy-handed was the first word that came to mind, right? I mean, so the NFL, I think, basically acknowledged this was not a football operations issue because there was no penalty handed down specifically to somebody on the football operations side, a la Bill Belichick, right?
He'd have been suspended if they were.
Correct. And so they're saying, you know what? You're right. This has nothing to do with the football side, but we're still going to hammer you indirectly by taking away a 2021 third-round draft pick. And the fines, it's a lot of money, obviously. I tend to think that, like, in the grand scheme, it's a pill that the Kraft family most likely can swallow, right? I mean, they've made so much money off this business that, like, I think probably the draft pick, and more than anything, guys, the reputation hit is what probably bothers them the most. I thought it was incredibly heavy-handed, guys. There's plenty of other examples. I know Michael Hurley had a tweet about basically like other things that have happened to other NFL teams and how they basically were wrist slapped compared to what the Patriots got. So I was surprised. I was surprised it took seven months. I mean, I thought, as far as I know, it was a 9-minute video, and it looked like it was a 9-minute video where the camera did not move an inch. I don't know how much studying you had to do on that, but somehow it took 7 months, and I was surprised, to say the least.
Field, you've done something in this interview that the McCourties have done. I've heard a few other players do where they're talking about football. They're talking about Cam Newton and training camp and getting back, and then subtly they throw in at the end, if there's a season. Are you, or if we play football as normal, what is your perception and concern level in terms of the 2020 NFL season being played out, starting with training camp July 28th and then straight on through the Super Bowl?
Yeah, substantial. And I say substantial only because there's never been a time in my lifetime where we've ever had to worry about whether there was going to be a season, except for lockout. Like, you know, 2011, I guess that wouldn't be a lockout, but, you know, a mini lockout, right?
Yep.
Before the CBA was done. So, you know, and so that's the only reason why I say that is I don't want people to feel as though there is no doubt about it with football coming back and just understanding the power of the virus, right? I mean, we're watching the news every single day and catching up on the latest and seeing it all over the various places we get our news, and it's scary and it's daunting. So I don't have a percentage I can assign to it. I tell you, I will talk to, when I talk to people around the NFL, they kind of all have the same answer, which is, I don't know, don't know for sure. And so along those lines, I'm going to continue with the I don't know for sure mindset myself, but remaining very hopeful and, you know, following the NFL's messaging that they feel confident. I'm certainly prepared, you know, July 28th. I hope to be, you know, maybe not at a training camp, but certainly following the coverage of people who are at training camps, because I do think that, you know, if we have training camps to start on time, it's going to be basically the bare minimum in terms of in-person coverage, right? It might just be a few reporters from, you know, the most prominent local affiliates.
As a follow-up to that point and to wrap this thing up, the NFLPA president told agents, quote, underlying conditions like high body mass index, asthma, and sleep apnea are all associated with a higher risk of developing severe symptoms and complications when infected with COVID-19. Those conditions are widespread across the league, unquote. Like on every offensive lineman in the NFL?
I mean, maybe, right? I mean, basically, right? What's like the, who's the lightest NFL offensive lineman? What's his BMI, right? Like, I got to figure it's like in the 99th percentile for the general population. And I think what J.C. Treader said there, the Brown center, I think it probably ties in some ways to the conversations we've had over the past, you know, handful of days surrounding Tom Brady and other NFL superstars getting these group workouts together. Dee Smith, the NFLPA executive director, did an interview with USA Today and talked about how, like, guys, we are going to / we are currently negotiating with the NFL because we're going to have to make some COVID alterations. We're going to have to make some COVID guidelines. And, you know, these players, like J.C. Treader, are expressing the real scares and concerns. Meanwhile, we've got other players that are sort of going about their business, you know, close to usual. So it's a fascinating conversation, and maybe not fascinating, it's an important conversation for the next month or so that the NFL and NFLPA are going to have to work through as we get ready for training camps. Is there are a lot of what ifs, and there are going to be a lot of things that even if we spend time thinking about them, we're not going to have a perfect plan for. And we better be ready as a collective football following for, as we, I think I've learned to the NBA, that some of this you're going to have to figure out as you go. And that's just going to be a big part of the reality for the NFL and probably all sports leagues.
We always appreciate the time, Field. Thank you very much. Stay safe, and I hope we see you in person at some point in the near future.
I'm with you guys on that. All the best, and thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Field. Is Field Yates from ESPN. And that button isn't working for me, fellas, so you might have to disconnect that one because it's not working for me. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. He is absolutely right in this. Cam Newton might be the most unique physical specimen to play the position in the NFL. As he said, he looks like a linebacker or a tight end or something.
Oh, he
does.
Oh, he's absolutely huge. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday how, you know, just in the SEC, for example, Tim Tebow kind of took the conference and the country by storm with how he played. And then Cam Newton did it like even better. Like, he was just so dominant, and he could throw better than Tebow. He could run a little bit better than Tebow. And he was just so dominant in a college conference that is known for their defense and how fast they are. And then his rookie year, he comes on the scene and is breaking all kinds of records. He actually has his best passing season, 4,000 yards, his best rushing touchdown season. And then the league started to really just beat the crap out of him. But he was still successful. 4 years later, he's the MVP of the league. And that's why I think even if he is a lesser version of himself, which is very possible at 31 and with all the injuries, but when he was at his best, he was the best in the league. So I'll take 80% of what that was, and that's still an option, a better option than you had currently on your roster, and the best chance of getting back to the playoffs.
And as Field spoke, I want to get into this on the other side. The more and more I compare Gronk and Cam Newton, coming back to new teams, a year off, their physical stature, their state,
their
personalities and gimmicks, and is football, like, I think there are a lot of similarities and some you wouldn't really expect. I think it's a really interesting comparison that ties together more of Tom Brady, the Patriots, the Bucks, this whole season where we have one foot covering the Patriots and we have one eyeball looking a little bit down towards Tampa Bay.
Oh, that'd be more than one.
The NFC South, the AFC East, the jumping back and forth, and legacy. There's so many
things
here.
It's the most anticipated football season in such a long time, and that's why it would be even worse if it gets interrupted or delayed or wiped out.
Did you notice Field doing that? He kept saying, you know, assuming there's a year and assuming we're in camp.
If you read this memo that was sent to agents by the NFLPA president, I think he's got some real doubts. He's basically telling the agents, make sure your guys know the risks that are involved here.
Correct. And
make
it's
sure
worse.
They know. And as I said, every offensive lineman in the NFL, if he gets it, is not going to be asymptomatic.
And he has to commingle with 90-plus guys when they start camp, not, you know, a roster of 25 or even 40 or 12 or whatever. They're at higher risk, potentially. They're in closer quarters that really aren't designed for the social distancing. We've heard Harbaugh and those guys and Sean McVay laugh about, like, social distancing.
It's
football,
impossible.
Camp, how are we going to do that?
Right.
So, yeah, if you have sort of trepidation with what's going on with baseball, guys opting out, and NBA and guys opting out, and the McCourty twins, and Jason in particular, on like three different occasions has said there's going to be fear and you have to make personal decisions about your family and your health. Football is not as, I think, on secure footing as some people are assuming it is.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Still to come, it is Tuesday after all. That means Karaoke Tuesday. God knows what Scheim has cooked up for you.
Ooh, boy.
We've got our Dale and Keith Movie Club review, and I was pleasantly surprised at a rewatch that was better upon rewatching than I remembered it to be, because it had been a while.
Unlike the Holy Grail.
The whole Monty Python and the Holy Grail
the
was
holy
worse
crap.
Upon rewatching. All right, well. Django Unchained was better on rewatching. We'll get to all of that later on in the program. It's Dale and Keith with Heart Sports Radio, WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keith on WEEI.
How does his overall personality play in the quote-unquote Patriot way?
Is Cam going to walk into a building where everybody is basically business-like? And just ruffle feathers right away. My guess is no. My guess is that Cam is going to come in there and probably adapt to how the Patriots have long operated, right? You got a bunch of players and obviously a coaching staff and front office and everybody else that are nuts and bolts. Football matters.
You know, I sort of feel that way too. And I think sometimes people, and it happened yesterday with a caller, they were conflating the fact that he dresses uniquely, and that's putting it mildly at times, that he dresses uniquely as somehow he's a disrupting influence in the locker room or out on the field. I don't think he is at all.
Doesn't seem like that. I mean, you have teammates of his that were very excited on social media that he found a team, and other guys have done interviews that say he's a great teammate, or I forget who the player was, but he was saying, you know, he had one idea of Cam Newton before he was a teammate of him, then got there and was like, oh, this guy's great. I thought I was going to have a problem with him based on maybe how he handles press conferences or things like that, but he turned out to be a great teammate.
And in the end, we all know that only one thing will matter.
Winning.
How he plays, yeah.
How he plays.
Are they winning? You know, Chad Ochocinco, to me, conformed almost like no other when he arrived in New England, going from what he was in Cincy to what
he
became.
He had a lobotomy.
Yes, except.
But that was a problem.
He got yelled at by Teddy Bruschi. Get off Twitter and get you in your playbook. You know why? Because he sucked.
He was terrible.
He was done. And but if Cam Newton's done, people will mock his post-game attire or they'll mock his personality. If not, and that's where I get into, I think Rob Gronkowski, the only time he got criticized in New England was when he was hurt or when he wasn't producing at the highest level. Mm-hmm. When Gronk was the best tight end in football every other season.
Yeah, do a Gronk cruise.
No one cared.
Do whatever you
Bill
want.
Bill Belichick didn't care. No. Fan number one, fan number 10 million didn't care. And I think the two guys are very unique in that they have personalities. Different, but quirky, kind of
big
outgoing.
Yeah.
Love to do charity work. I said this to you off air,
sure.
Rich, that you know Gronk, I've said this a million times, is the best charitable guy the Patriots have ever had in terms of visiting a child's hospital. Mm-hmm. I think Cam is the
and
same thing.
And almost every time you knew about it, it was because the kid's family made it known.
Right.
Gronk never made it known.
Oh, right, of course.
Cam might promote it a little more than Gronk, but Cam,
you know what, you're still doing it.
And both of them, maybe it's because they are a little bit of the teenager that never grew up, Peter Pan syndrome. Mm-hmm. They align with the kids better than anybody. Because, they don't have to think about getting down to their level. They just go in and act like themselves, and the kids love it. They eat it up. But
Every time he'd score a touchdown and he'd find a kid in the first row and hand him the football,
mm-hmm.
all good for me.
Right. Now, I am of the belief that Bill Belichick is fine with these things because he believes those guys are smart football players, love football. It's like Randy Moss. He talks about smartest player I ever played with, taught me so much.
Yeah.
Do you think too many people could have come in? Remember the famous clip? Hey, Bill, we're going to have a Halloween party on Wednesday night.
Right.
Are you going to come? And Bill came as a pirate.
Right.
Not everybody could. If Bethel Johnson
came
into his office and said, Bill, we're having a Halloween party.
Yeah.
The hell you are. Get in there and study a damn playbook, Bethel.
If he's
and by the
good,
way, who are you?
Right.
Right, yeah. If he's good, none of that stuff will matter. He can wear scarves and capris to the press conference. He can do all that stuff. He can continue his YouTube channel, whatever.
Like, remember,
as long as you're good.
Junior Seau was a freelancer. Bill could never have a player like that, except he re-signed him like four times. He had him for a couple years, right? Like, yeah. We have all these, I think, we put our perceptions and sort of align them to Bill, assign them to Bill,
mm-hmm.
whereas Bill, I think, is a little more varied with what he's allowed personality-wise.
But I think there's also a big difference, and we've seen this. There's so many examples of, if Cam Newton goes up there on the press conference and he starts, saying something negative about an opponent, then you have big issues. Yeah. Then you have major issues. But
Or his teammates,
of course.
If he says the line sucked today, I was fine.
I think there's the Patriots speak.
Which, by the way, I've never heard him say that.
Nope.
No.
Only negative I can really recall is the female reporter thing. He stepped in it.
Right.
Which he
would have said, Belichick would have said the same thing to him, like, what the hell are you doing? Then he would have apologized, which he ended up doing in Carolina anyway.
But that's not team related. That was just a societal screw up.
Edelman does, like you were saying yesterday, like those Burger Time videos, and like he's got his t-shirts and he's got like his knockoff TB12 wear, the JE11 stuff. Like, all of that stuff is fine. I think Bill, and you're right, Andy, people think that he doesn't like the big personality. He does. But you just can't give the opponent any bulletin board material. Leave that alone. You can't be guaranteeing wins. You can't do that stuff. But is everything else to show your personality? Oh, yeah, great.
Let's go to the source. Let's see what Randy Moss thinks about what the relationship would probably be like between Cam Newton and Bill Belichick.
I think we are getting ready to really see how fun that offense can really be, not discrediting anything that Tom accomplished, because he accomplished some great things. But I think being able to have a guy like Cam Newton that can run the ball, they're able to spread guys out, and then being able to be that viable threat in the passing game that he could just tuck the ball and run. So I just think that what we've seen coming out of New England for the past, let's say, 20 years, there is going to be a change in New England, but I think we're going to see them having a lot more fun out there, and Cam Newton is going to give them that opportunity for the fans, not just the New England Patriot fans, but the football fans just around the world to really see, how fun this offense can really be.
Wait, it wasn't fun in 07 when Randy Moss caught 23 of 50 touchdowns?
I'll just speak for myself. It was fun for me.
But it was 35-3 at halftime?
Yeah, that was pretty fun. That was pretty fun.
Remember the running up the score conversations with callers?
What the hell is Randy talking about?
I'm not so sure. I mean, I think there's two different topics there. You could say, with Cam Newton, you can do different things. And maybe for Josh McDaniels, it allows you to sort of open up the playbook a little bit more or add things in that you kind of wanted to do. Or you look around the league and you're like, it would be kind of cool to have a quarterback that has this option or could do this where Brady couldn't, a little bit more conventional. But when you were lighting up the scoreboard, it was fun. Now, if he's comparing it just to last season, sure. Last season's offense was not the most fun.
No, you know who told us that?
Brady. Every single time. So maybe in that regard, but I mean, over the last 20 years, there's been some really fun seasons. And to say he's had some success is ridiculous. He's had the most success.
Somewhere Lane Johnson's Moss didn't even have fun when he was breaking records.
and Field made a great point about that as well. I mean, nobody's got more at stake in this than Cam Newton does. I mean, this is his 1 year prove it to me contract. With theoretically a number of years remaining on a high-priced NFL career, if he comes and kicks it away here, who knows where he ends up?
Right.
Back up at the Jacksonville Jaguars next or something.
I looked up at one of the monitors at one point, and they were having a debate, whose legacy is more at stake, Belichick or Newton? What?
I mean, it's Newton's.
Come on.
It's a dumb
Belichick's
question.
Belichick's legacy is fairly... Belichick's well there. Here.
What's more valuable, a $10 bill or a $5 bill? Mm. Let's debate it next. Mm. There's no debate.
No, there's really no debate there.
Like
at
Bill
all.
Belichick's legacy is fine. Absolutely
just fine.
Right. Cam Newton has a questionable legacy already that could get even worse. Like, do you think if Cam fails this year, Bill can only win with Brady?
Well, I think he's close to
an MVP.
Well, because the other thing we're talking about, like with his personality, I don't think Cam Newton wants to or would entertain the idea of being a backup. That's just me. I don't know. He's never spoken for that, I don't think. But I just can't imagine a guy that has started every game since his week one rookie year is all of a sudden going to be a backup.
He didn't wear a tie. He didn't start.
He missed one offensive series. If you check the stats, that's right. He came off the bench for one game. But he is a starter, and it could be one of those things where if it doesn't work here,
call it
maybe
a career.
That's just it.
He's got $120 million in the bank.
The only way he comes out would be like the Jay Cutler year where he thought he was done. Tannehill blows out his knee, and he's like, all right, I'm guaranteed to start here. Then I'll do that. But I think that this year is so important to him. Whereas Belichick, you know, he just had so many great years, and this is going to be a year, a full year without Brady. So you can be like, all right, how does that stack up? Are you, adding wins, or what are you doing? Plus, oh, by the way, how Brady does in Tampa is going to impact Belichick and his decision to move on from him and all that. But, I mean, it's a pretty clear-cut Cam Newton year. Important for him.
I'm going to say something controversial right
Ooh,
now. A little bit
boy.
Controversial.
All right, well, let me sit down.
I think...
Right, make sure you're ready to dump this if we have to,
yeah,
John.
Yeah,
right,
be careful
knows?
Back there.
I think Cam Newton is going to bring a positive change of energy to the quarterback position for the New England Patriots. I do not think Tom Brady...
Over last year, that's probably
100%
fair.
I think Tom
year.
Brady was a negative energy. He was the, what is it, pig pen? With the stupid little cloud over him on Charlie Brown.
The flies.
That's what Tom Brady was.
Don't bother, we're 8-0.
Tom Brady was a net energy loss for the New England Patriots this year. I don't know whether Cam Newton will get hurt. I don't know whether Cam Newton will be good, but Cam Newton will bring in increased energy, and we used to see it from Brady years ago on the practice field, jawing with Teddy Bruschi or Matt Patricia, competition level. I think Cam Newton will be a net positive in that area this year, and we may not see it, as Field said. It may be like three beat reporters watching it in training camp.
But he said it sort of brings a shot in the arm. I think that's for everybody. I think it's for the team. I think it's for the fans. I think it's for the interested. Not that the team wasn't interesting. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying all of that is even more...
And that's good.
More so with him.
That's good for
great.
Young players. That's good for old players. Yeah, I think
good,
Dante Hightower
can
gain.
It's good for young fans, too.
100%.
Yes.
They are going to sell a crap ton of Cam Newton jerseys.
Oh, he'll fly
They're
up the leaderboard.
Pat Patriot jerseys.
I know. Because all the top jerseys
We don't know.
Are,
that they might be giving him number 12. I don't know. I mean,
just
it's
to really rub it in. But
pretty sure they won't.
But Brady, Gronk, and Tua are the highest selling jerseys. But as soon as they put out the Cam Newton Patriots one, that'll jump.
Now, will
there.
You regret it? Is the question
Maybe.
By December? Because if Dale's right, there will be lots of regret for those $100 plopped down for number one.
And I'm
one.
Not rooting for that, by the way.
I didn't say you were, Dale. Just
no,
saying
no,
you've
no,
predicted.
I just want to make it clear. Look, it'd be great for all of us if he came here, was healthy, gave that shot in the arm of energy, that shot in the arm of. You know, what Cam Newton, that lightning in a bottle that he used to have. Man, if you could bring that here, oh, it'd be great.
Oh, I'm going to be greedy. For this radio station, Cam Newton on the morning show and Bill Belichick
awesome.
Talking in the afternoon about Cam Newton on the morning show, Cha and Ching
awesome.
Coming together, baby, because that is huge.
Need
now,
that.
I don't know how that'll play out. As I said, they may say, now, Matthew Slater now on the morning.
No,
whatever.
I think it has to be the quarterback, but I believe that... You know, if they don't name a starter during preseason, you may not get him until after the week one game. But
I can wait.
Whoever
can
the
wait.
Starter is week one, Dale, you'd know better than I would, but for years, right? Like, it was Matt Cassel in 08 because he was the starter. And, like, that's...
First question. So, Cam, what are you wearing this morning?
Now the year that Brady was suspended...
Nothing, Greg.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The year that he was suspended, they kind of...
Josh McDaniels.
Okay. Yeah, so that was sort of a different year. They didn't want to give him Garoppolo, but then Garoppolo got hurt.
I remember that.
Yeah,
they had Josh McDaniels
for
the morning
weeks.
Show?
For 4 weeks, yeah.
Oh, God, no. I love Josh. You know I love Josh more
I know
than
you
anyone.
Do more than anybody does.
And Josh, okay, he's fine. Nope, find a different answer.
No, Cam
I want
Newton.
Cam.
Yeah, give me Cam
I want
Newton.
Cam talking about
I really
everything.
Yep.
All right, so did the Patriots move yesterday with Cam Newton cause another team to consider a counter move? We'll get to that when we come back in your calls as well at 617-779-7937. Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
Today's Antonio Brown update.
All right, let's start by giving credit where credit is due, because Mike Lombardi was one of the first people I saw of the football media who was suggesting that Cam Newton to the Patriots was a perfect fit. So he was kind of out in front on this whole thing.
And he stayed out in front. He didn't back off.
No.
He didn't tie them together, but didn't cut the ties either. He kept kind of bringing it up week after week on here, on his podcast.
He's a football genius, so.
Just ask him.
What do you want? That.
So did the move by the Patriots to, at least we think, sign Cam Newton, although the Patriots haven't said it officially and all that stuff, but he's coming here. Did that move cause another team in the NFL to go, uh-oh, uh-oh? We better do something. Well, Mike Lombardi weighs in again.
I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa, now that New England got Cam, I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa made another move.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I did. I mean, here you go, boy. You could put two in. You know, you're like Sherlock Holmes with that.
No. You think Antonio Brown's going down to Tampa because that conversation started early and Bruce was like, no, not for me, dog.
I'm thinking they're chipping away. You know how Andy used to chip away at the wall at Shawshank? You know, chip, you know. I think there's some chipping going on down there. There you go. Yep, I think there's some chipping going on down there, Pat. I'm just saying, keep your antennas up. You heard it here first. Just keep your antennas up.
I don't really give a shit.
Wait, why would Tampa respond to a Patriots move?
Here's the thinking, I think, that's out there.
Okay.
The general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady, saw the move made by his former team and went, damn it, I got to get him in here. Even though Bruce Arians said way back when, there is zero chance we're bringing him in. Does Tom Brady, general manager, say, no, Bruce, we're bringing him in.
Even though the Bucs still have the better quarterback, wide receivers, tight end.
Like, they're one of the few teams in the league that really don't need Brown. Now, I think it would be unbelievable
if they had those players. Three.
You could. I understand that you could.
Never have enough.
They're kind
maybe
of in a
not
spot.
Enough footballs, but enough players.
Well,
yeah.
Right. That's Tom's problem.
But I thought Brady would have wanted him all along. Remember, there was conflicting reports about when he was meeting with teams and he was bringing up the idea of Antonio Brown. And I know Bruce Arians has said no, but how many times has a coach said no about a player and then they sign the next day?
Nick Saban.
Right. Or
I am not
like
going to
job.
Alabama.
Quit talking about Alabama. There's nothing there. I'm signing with Alabama. It's good. Thanks, Dolphins. So,
plus, could be just negotiating. Maybe he doesn't want to pay AB. He wants AB to beg him to take him, and then he pulls a Bill and gets AB for the price of a Cam Newton.
It could be, though. I
will say this. Others have also suggested Antonio Brown could be headed to Tampa Bay as well.
Oh, yeah. That's been a common.
Oh, sure.
Because
I mean,
of his
recently.
Brady.
Not after Bruce Arians said there's zero chance, it died off. It has kind of reignited here
That'd
the last
be incredible.
But anybody with any credibility, connections?
I'm talking about football genius.
Hey, I saw it on the cover of a book. It must be true.
If he said he might be going to the Patriots.
But I have a strong hunch.
Strong hunch.
Well, what's a hunch? Do you have a strong connection?
My strong hunch is Seattle or Baltimore before Tampa.
Both make more sense to me.
Yeah, they could use the receiver. I mean, all three have quarterbacks that, you know, have had a lot of success. I mean, Lamar 1 year, but still, I think... They still have to make a ruling, though. Like, we're having the same conversation about Antonio Brown. Like, what the league hasn't said anything.
He's good for business. Talk
do you think
about
he plays? Again, if there's a season, Jason McCourty, if there's a season, does Antonio Brown play?
Yes. Late in the year. I mean, I think he has to be suspended.
I think
there's going to
be, four, six, eight, somewhere in there.
Now, what happens if he gets suspended for four games, but four games are wiped out by the coronavirus? Did I serve my suspension?
No, then he still gets the next four.
Well, no, it'd be time. If it's like baseball, Alex Cora, time served.
I'd file a grievance if I were him.
Yeah, well, he probably should.
Then they can hold that up in court for a while. I'll get to play.
But that would be incredible if he went to Tampa. However, now they have three tight ends that should all play. You have two of the best receivers in the league, and then you're going to have a back out there. And now they even drafted that kid that can play in the slot. And now all of a sudden, listen, the more the merrier, I suppose.
You'd
but that's
get excited about
it. I would be so excited. And it'd be the best trio of receivers in the history of the NFL. It'll
say
never
that
be
definitively.
One. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because every other trio has like a really weak.
I think we actually did this.
We did this before,
we?
I think, because this idea came up when Brady originally signed. But, I mean, there's some good trios, but the third guys are like Jake Reed.
Back when you thought.
What?
Gordon
Edelman and. Gordon
and Edelman.
Yeah, that was a good trio, too.
Yeah, and we've proven that when you get excited about something, you're dead wrong.
Well, a good amount of times, but it's not going to
knock. Give me an example when you got really excited.
Randy Moss.
When he came here in 07?
Yeah.
Very excited. Were you in high school?
No, I was. Maybe.
In New Hampshire?
No, I was out of college.
You're out of college.
I think so, yeah.
So you were super excited.
Super
draft
excited
weekend,
Randy Moss.
Randy Moss, he's back. He's going to break records.
Yes.
So that was the last time you were right. So when was that?
No, I don't know if it was the last time.
That was 11 years, 13 years ago.
That was a while ago.
13 years ago, you were right.
I was excited about the Kevin Garnett trade.
So more than 13 years ago.
I was right about a lot of things in 07, 08.
Yeah, what's happened since? Because you got excited about Kyrie.
I was excited about Kyrie.
You got excited about Josh Gordon.
Yes,
you got excited about AB.
Yes.
Wrong. We had sound effects like Shime's bets.
Come on. What do you mean, Shime? Why is he taking a shot at Shime?
No. My point is.
I'm just a punching bag around.
Yeah, ridiculous.
My point is, when Shime lists
no
his
reason.
Bets, there's usually some dings. When you list your excited predictions, it's no dings.
Well, let me think of a few other ones.
You going to sleep on it? You get back to me tomorrow?
Yeah. I was probably excited about line. line?
David Price?
Not particularly. No, I wasn't as excited
Chris
about
Sale?
Price. Yes, I was excited about Sale. Yeah.
And is that a pro or a con?
I don't know.
Is that a positive check for you or another negative?
Well, I didn't want them to re-sign him, so I was right about
that.
Right
on that, but you weren't excited.
I was excited when they originally traded for him.
I'm talking about when you act like a young boy and get super excited, it's usually bad news.
Well, you have a couple of examples.
I have three very recent
Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon.
Yes.
No.
Fail, fail, fail.
So based on that, you're going to say Cam Newton's not going to work?
Well, I would say your track record is similar to my son's. My son is always wrong on these things because he is a teenage boy. He gets excited.
Well, you got to
say he wants a jersey, and he's always wrong. And he was high-stepping. I told you, high-stepping across the yard the other night, yelling, "Let's go."
No, that's a good point.
I will say this. Antonio Brown's last two Instagram posts all have the hashtag back to business.
Call God. Did he call God?
The first one a week ago shows him sitting at the podium with his sons in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform. The second one shows a speak for yourself discussion point on TV. Should a team take a chance on Antonio Brown? And it, you know, it says back to business. And that's what he said. Hashtag back to business.
So shouldn't his business right now be like figuring out his availability?
Up his legal issues.
Yeah. Like, and I feel like back to business for him is a courtroom, is a lawyer's negotiation table or something with the NFL. You know, he's got a lot to do before he can even...
A lot of business at hand.
Put some cleats on, find a helmet that he, you know, is approved and he'll wear.
That's another hurdle.
It feels like it's always something with him. It's the damnedest thing.
It is something.
So it's safe to say that the Patriots wide receivers, just completely throwing Jarrett Stidham under the bus, seem very excited about the arrival of Cam Newton. Julian Edelman has weighed in. Mohamed Sanu's got some googly eyes going here as well. So they're all excited about, and a very nice Photoshop deal of Newton in a Patriots uniform that Edelman posted. But as I think I'm going to try to express it more clearly this time, and I'll fail. Got no issues with it. Low risk, high reward, and I don't think it's going to work.
And we're at 10 wins or 8 wins, Dale? We can talk about that, too.
When we come back. Dale and Keith with Andy Hart, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.